Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name, and we thank you that we are the bride of Christ, and we thank you that we have been purchased with your blood. Lord, we thank you for your word, and this morning as we have another opportunity to look at a psalm, and Lord, we do have ups and downs because of circumstances primarily, and we do get distressed. And we have a beautiful psalm today, written, I believe, by David, because it's so Davidic, although it's not titled by David. When he was in a great distress, great depression, and it is good for us to see that heart, know what it's like when we are really down and what we need to do. And so help us as we spend this time, a few minutes in your word, and then that we would pray as well, as is our custom for the rest of the hour. So lead us now, and by your Spirit fill us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we begin book 2 of the Psalms today, and Psalm 42 and 43, many people think it's the same psalm, just 43 continuing 42, but we'll break at 42, 11 verses, and next week we'll do the 5 verses, Lord willing, in Psalm 43. So today, just to focus on Psalm 42, my Bible entitles it, Yearning for God in the Midst, or Middle, of Distresses. Yearning for God in the Midst of Distresses. It is the chief musician. It's a mishtal, or a teaching psalm, and it's to be read by the sons of Korah. Now, when we get to Korah, I all of a sudden have a little bit of a question mark, as Korah was one of the ones of the rebellion, remember? And the earth swallowed him up. And we're told in Numbers that his children were not swallowed up. And apparently the Korahites ended up being part of the servants in the tabernacle. And we're not sure because there was a lot of Korahs around. So it's kind of hard to say this is the same Korah. But there are those who believe that God in his mercy and grace, even though Dad was a scoundrel, that the children now have been given great grace. Now, this is not Kohath, which we have the name of one of the sons, but one of in the descendants you go on down, and it does list the Korahites as serving in the temple. So whatever it is, and Korah then ends up as one of the worship leaders. So one of the musicians too. So we have here, putting all that aside, what is David saying? And again, I say David, it may not be David, but it could be you, it could be me. And we read, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy, as with a breaking of my bones? My enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Again he says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So just a few verses, but we see here a number of things. I don't think this is early in David's life, because he says he can look back on the days when he went into the house of God. That kind of indicates it may have been the temple, but the temple wasn't really built before he died, so I'm not quite sure of that. But he did go to the tabernacle, which was where they worshiped. And some think this is during the time of Absalom's rebellion, which would have been a really difficult time. He had to leave Jerusalem. He couldn't worship. And he was on the run. And to think your own son wants to kill you and to destroy the nation that you so love, that's a depressive time, isn't it? It would be very depressive. And others see some other incidents, maybe the fleeing from Saul and so forth, it could be. But at any rate, he's really down. So when you get really down, you can relate to some of these things, I believe. And we see here as he begins, as the deer pants for the water brook. So some think that this was in David's mind from the time that he was hiding in the wilderness and so forth, and in caves and one thing and another. And he would be maybe hiding near me, even like En Gedi. Those of you who have been there, there's caves there, and there's waterfalls, and there's running water. And so we have here that he would have seen a deer coming in, panting. Good morning, ladies. So he can vision this deer, and if you would see this deer maybe being chased by either dogs or something or other, like in a hunt, I don't know if this is where he saw or not, but here comes the deer just panting, and just so desperately thirsty and just needing water. And so think of that as that picture of just an animal struggling for survival and struggling for water and very thirsty, and how that deer, after running, would be panting and for the water brooks. And that is the comparison here as he makes to his soul. So he says, soul, pants my soul for you. And so my question is, how big a pant is my soul have for the Lord? Is it a pretty big pant, or is it just a little kind of little whimper now and then? But he says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And I know every believer does that. But how committed are we to the Lord, and how much are we longing to be with him and in his presence? When shall I come and appear before God? Or when shall I come and see the face of God? Is another translation there. When shall I come and see the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night. I don't know if that's ever fit you. I don't think I've ever cried day and night. But he has cried day and night while they continually say to me, these are his enemies, these are kind of the world around us today, in a way, although nothing severe as this yet in this country. Where is your God? So anytime something bad happens to a believer, the other unbelievers would say, well, where is your God now? Oh, you got COVID, or you got whatever you did. Where is your God? I thought you wouldn't have to go through that. No, we go through things, don't we? Believers do, but we know where our God is. He's with us, isn't he? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. You know, around the world where the church is in persecution, people risk their lives to worship together. This nation, which has been protected for its entire history, really, is so casual. Even when it doesn't cost us anything, we won't go to church. How many people are in church now in this country? Actually, I was reading the greatest decline in history of a culture of a known country has been the United States in the last 60 years. 60 years ago, there was something like 72% of the people polled that had some belief in the Bible, and they thought the Bible was true. Today, that figure is less than 6%. 6%. So you wonder why we've got problems? We've turned from the Lord. We've turned from the Lord. But here, he remembers, he's on the run now. He can't go to church. He can't go to, we call it church, he can't go to the house of God like he formerly did. And he loved to go and worship, as says, with the multitude. The assembling of ourselves together, so important. Here we are this morning. Now, we could be home or wherever praying by ourselves. That'd be good. And I hope we are. But it's also good to have the just the spiritual environment of being with other believers, isn't it? It's something special about that that God honors, I think. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. You can see the people marching, not marching, but traveling to Jerusalem on the feast days. So now he's talking to himself. So if you ever talk to yourself, you've got some biblical precedent here. So don't. Maybe people say you're crazy, then roll up your windows. But why are you cast down or bowed down? Why are you bowed down, my soul? He's asking himself, why is he just bowed down and disquieted within me? And now he starts to lift himself up, not by his strength, but hope in God. Hope in God. Remember those three words, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Isn't that true? Praise him. He will help you. He will always help you. Continuing on, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Mount Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Now, nobody knows about Mizar. It is not known to be a special hill. The name means low hill, a small hill. And I believe some think, well, this means that David was up in the northern part of Israel, maybe. I kind of think it could be. His spiritual experiences. They've been from the mountaintops to they've been from the small hills. But he's remembering them. I will remember you, Lord, from the big experiences to the little experiences, from the tallest mountain in Israel, where they even have ski resort up there, if you can believe it. You might think it's an all flat, hot, deserty place, but Hermon is high enough that it's got snow on it much of the year. Always gets snow in the winter, and that's the source of the Jordan River when it melts, primarily. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. That sounds like Jonah in the whale reciting the 96th Psalm, because this is the same thing the 96th Psalm, I think it's 96, says. Deep calls unto me, deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. So he's kind of trying to hang on. I visualize in the old movies, you'd see these sailors out there on the deck, right, when the storm came, and often they'd be swept off, right? They're hanging on as best they can. It's kind of like this here. All your waves and billows have gone over me. He's just trying to hang on. He's not moving much. He's trying to hang on. But then he goes to, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, And in the night, his song shall be with me. Isn't that great? So we see this great swing of emotion here. Maybe more of a David than I think many other writers in the Bible. But he goes from the lowest, all the way up to the top again, because he's got his eyes on the Lord, and that is our promise too. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. We say amen. I know we've experienced that. And in the night, his song shall be with me. You know, when you're depressed and distressed, nights can be really long. But you know, morning always comes. Morning always comes. And again, I will say to God, my rock. That's a good thing to envision God as your rock, because he is. But to make matters even worse, you get these waves of feeling that God has forgotten me. So here you're down lower than a snake, feeling so badly, and the people are all taunting you. And now it even seems like God has forgotten you. So he says, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? And it's so severe, the oppression of the enemies, it's like actually breaking his bones. That's painful. As with a breaking of my bones. Or that word breaking literally means shattering. It's not just a kind of a snap. It's a shattering of the bone. That's a really bad break, isn't it? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? So again, the question by the enemies taunting you, saying, where is your God? And all day long they're taunting him, not just once mentioning him, they're just always after him. Oh, you're down again today. Well, where is your God now? Where's your God now? And again, now he asks himself that same question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Verse 5, repeated. And then it's exactly the same response, almost with just a couple of words different. Hope in God. Same prescription. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So before we go to prayer, let's just kind of come back to verse 1 and just think about, as the deer pants, so my heart pants for you.
Thank you.
Fathers, we're coming kind of close to the end of the hour today. We indeed have a degree of frustration because of our impatience over those around us who are far from you. We shudder at the things going on in the Ukraine, yet we know that's just such a match light compared with what's ahead. A small nation, less than 50 million people, I believe. Tragic, yes, but I do thank you for the numerous reports of so many people coming to the Lord. And Lord, compared to what's ahead for the lost, that's a picnic, what's going on in the Ukraine, really, in a way. And as I saw the documentary on Anne Frank and I saw the travesty reminded of World War II when most of Europe was destroyed, not just one nation, but nation after nation after nation and around the world. But even that is going to be like a picnic compared to the Great Tribulation. So time is running out, but you're not slack, because you want none to perish. You want all to come to repentance. Help us to remember that, Lord. Sometimes our prayers are like, well, I don't think you know, Lord, and I don't think you're doing anything. Forgive us for that, Lord. We're the ones that are impatient and don't know anything. But you tell us there, the last thing Peter said was in his second epistle, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, we know what's ahead. It's not better, it's worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. That's what the Bible tells us. The big revival will be during the tribulation, I believe. We will see millions and untold numbers coming to the Lord. But we see before that falling away. And that we see it right now around the world, falling away. It's not getting better. Yes, you could turn it around with a revival, and you might, but that gives us more time. I don't think we have time for a revival. As we pray, I think we need to pray to your coming today or tomorrow. And even if we're off a day or two or three or 100 or 1,000 days or 10,000 days, it still doesn't matter. We need to be ready. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Let's close here with this song, Our Hope is Built on Nothing Less. We read in the psalm, Hope in God. Let's sing this. Words are on the last page.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ, without
Father, we thank you that you're Lord of all. Help us to be steadfast in remembering that, in remembering you, and remembering your love for us. Help us to love you, obviously, because you first loved us. And Lord, we do want to remember the lost. We want to remember your church. We want to remember who you are and what you have done. And maybe just be steadfast in that, being ready for whatever's ahead. May we not be concerned or too much affected by the evil around us. We need to recognize it and come against us as best we can. But only you can save a nation. Only you can save a world. And we know the world is not going to be saved, but it's going to be destroyed except for those who are yours. So we know that's right around the corner. And help us to be fervent in our desire to see those come to you as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Be steadfast today. And if the Lord gives us tomorrow, may we do that tomorrow and a day at a time until he's here, huh? All right.